The first reading today, we hear about the fact that God is going to send his Son, that is, the wisdom of God, into the world. We hear about how God had given his truth to the Jewish people, and that in the holy tent he ministered before the Lord, and Zion was his fixed abode, and the chosen city has given me rest, which is Jerusalem, and all these points that the Lord has made. And so we look back to the Old Testament times and recognize, yes, God had given his truth as it had been revealed to the Jewish people. But this pointed forward to the time when truth itself was going to become incarnate. And it would be in the temple in Jerusalem that all these events would be taking place. We know that even though all of this was given, not everyone accepted. People rejected the Lord because they didn't want the truth. Now we have the same thing. It's been going on right along, but the brazenness now is becoming pretty obvious. I saw yesterday they started the Olympics. If it wasn't for their blasphemy, I wouldn't even know the Olympics were starting. But for whatever reason, if someone could explain what anything of this has to do with the Olympics, but they had the Last Supper at the Olympic opening ceremony. The Last Supper was a bunch of homosexuals, and it was totally blasphemous, and they are not even trying to hide what they're about. Now, what that has to do with people running and jumping and doing whatever else they're going to do in the Olympics is beyond me, other than to point out the fact that this, not the games, but their whole intention is an absolute rejection of the Lord Jesus. You'll notice that as you see all these things that happen, there is a pattern. Whether it's the unfortunate soul back a number of years ago who decided to make a, whatever it was supposed to be, an image of Our Lady with elephant dung, and the guy who put a crucifix upside down in a jar of urine and called it art, and you name it, one thing after the next, the pattern is always the same. There is no blasphemy, well, there couldn't be any, but there's nothing that they're doing against Buddha. There's nothing they're doing against Muhammad. There's nothing they're doing against Zoroaster. There's nothing they're doing against the Greek gods and the Roman gods, because they're all fake. They're not interested in rejecting something that's already a lie. They're only interested in rejecting the truth. And they are brazenly blaspheming God right to his face. There in Paris, France, known traditionally as the eldest daughter of the church, where now fewer than 2% of the people go to church, and the great and beautiful cathedrals that were built are now just tourist places that the government owns. The church doesn't even own them anymore. The government does. Because Jesus means nothing. Our Blessed Lady means nothing, except that even though they're trying to say they mean nothing, they have to keep coming back and blaspheming because they know that they mean something. They know what the truth is, and they are willfully and intentionally rejecting it. So you see very clearly that those who want to serve Satan are being extraordinarily zealous in the service of their master. So now Jesus says in the gospel, my mother and brothers and sisters are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. How zealous are we in serving our Lord? Are we giving him lip service, but our hearts are far from him? Are we going through the motions, but not really injecting ourselves into him, into his mystery, into his sacrifice. These are the kinds of things we have to be looking at. The people who serve Satan, they're obviously not ashamed of it. And the word occult means hidden, but they're not even trying to be hidden anymore. In their arrogance, they're right out there, and they're going to put it right in your face. They want you to know that not only do they serve Satan, they reject God. This isn't something that somebody was just duped and they didn't know any better and, well, they just kind of fell into this. No, these are people who are making a willful choice to say, not only am I going to reject God, I'm going to blaspheme him to his face. And what do you Christians think about that? And what do we think? That's art? Well, that's just an expression? They have freedom of speech. They can do whatever they want. Remember, this is Europe where they're literally trying to say that anyone who tries to say free speech is going to be taken down. So this kind of trash is okay. Speaking the truth is not. You see where we've come to? Which again, we have to look at it from a spiritual perspective. Yes, this is horribly evil. Look at it the other way. What a blessing. To be in a situation where we actually have to stand up and be counted. Are we going to follow the Lord? Are we going to serve the Lord? Or are we going to sit around and wring our hands and say, oh, I don't know. There is no I don't know. It's one side or the other. There is no in-between in this thing. I keep telling you that. It's serve Satan or serve Jesus. Anything in between is a choice for Satan. There is no in-between. Everyone on the face of this earth is going to have to make a choice. And there are only two options. And if our Lord tells us that those who do the will of his Father are the ones who are blessed, are the ones who are his brothers and sisters and mothers, then that's the choice we have to make. Not give lip service and say, yeah, I guess I'll choose Jesus. If it's heaven or hell, I'd rather go to heaven. Like, really? You'd rather? Yeah, you know, Jesus, I think, is better than the devil. You think? Now let's make a choice. Let's live what it is that we profess. Let's stop playing footsie with this nonsense and start taking it seriously and saying, I am going to live my faith. These people are just out there. They're in your face. They don't care. Of course, they know it's politically correct that everything is acceptable for them. And of course, you also know that what you believe is politically incorrect and that living the faith and living the truth is not acceptable. So in making that choice to say, I'm going to live it, you also have to recognize you're saying, I'm making a choice to be persecuted. I'm going to make a choice that I'm going to be rejected. That's what Christian people have had to deal with throughout the last 2,000 years. Now it's our turn. And we have to see this as a blessing. There are way too many people who have given lip service to Jesus, but their hearts are not with him. They aren't living it. We're not going to have an option. It's either live it or not. And it's going to be pretty obvious to everyone because there is no in-between. So as the evil continues to progress, I don't know if evil can progress, but anyway, as it continues to do its evil and get worse and worse and worse, which is what's going to happen, the good is going to stand out in stark contrast. And it's going to be literally that clear for everybody. So that's the choice we have to make. These people are getting pretty bold. They're not embarrassed to serve Satan. They're rejoicing that they get to serve the vile creature. Do we rejoice that we have the opportunity to serve the Lord God? The one who loves us so much that he died for us to redeem our souls so that we could go to heaven? Do we rejoice to serve him? Or do we complain about it?
It's so hard. There's so many things I have to do. You know what he wants me to do now?
Come on. He wants you to be a saint. That's what he wants. Make the choice. As I've told you, when St. Thomas Aquinas' sister asked him what's the easiest way to become a saint, he said simply, will it. Make the choice. Put it into practice. That's all. Yeah, there is a whole bunch of roadblocks. There are a whole bunch of things we're going to have to overcome. All the problems within our own self, all the imperfections, all the sins, all the things we've got to get rid of. It's not just as simple as saying, I guess I'll become a saint. But we have to make the choice to say, that's the path I'm going to walk, and that's where I'm going to stay. It's a straight and narrow path. It is rough. It is not easy. We know that. But it's the only way that leads to heaven. So if we're going to truly say, Jesus is Lord of my life, if we're going to truly say, I will serve him, I will strive to do the will of my Heavenly Father, then we need to get on that path, and we need to stay on that path, no matter how difficult it becomes. Because we know where our goal is, we know what we desire, that's union with him. So when we see Satan's minions putting us to shame when it comes to that, they are zealous in the service of their master. They are unswerving in their service to their master. They are committed to the service of their master. And they are not embarrassed of their master. How about us? Look into your heart and ask, can somebody say that about you when it comes to Jesus? That's the critical question. When we look at what these people are doing in the service of Satan, the vile, disgusting, despicable creature who rejected God and his plan of salvation, and we who claim to believe in him and accept his plan of salvation, I hope we can see the good and the truth, that we can rejoice in that, embrace it, and live it. Because that's what we're supposed to be about. As the sides are becoming more and more clear, as the dichotomy is becoming more obvious, the choice is also becoming more critical. So all the options are being narrowed down. As I said earlier, ultimately there will only be two. It's Satan or it's Jesus. Make the choice and live it.